Welcome to Paddling Adventures Radio. I'm Sean Rowley, and with me is Derek Specht.
Hello.
What's happening, Derek?
Not much, man. It's glad to start another week here. Having fun.
Yeah. And we got a special guest.
We do.
And we've already talked for like 6 hours beforehand, so anybody that knows exactly who we're talking about. Kevin Callen.
Hi.
How you doing, Kevin?
I'm good. I'm really good.
Yeah. What are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking a whiskey that someone gave me, so it's free. Monkey Shoulder. Have you ever had
Monkey Shoulder? That stuff's good.
Yeah. It's really good blend. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called Monkey Shoulder because when they went and mixed the rye, whatever's on the floor at distillery, those guys would get a monkey shoulder, like a big muscle in the shoulder.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. So I guess like humpback whiskey just didn't fit the bill.
It just didn't fly.
Monkey shoulder.
Yeah, that one didn't ring a bell.
The bells!
That one didn't ring a bell.
That one didn't ring a bell at all. Things are going well, Kevin.
Yeah, I went out fishing and canoeing on the weekend, so all is good.
We saw, we're going to clarify a couple things here, because I watched the video, and I know there's been comments. I didn't realize that when Ashley caught the biggest fish in the boat, being you.
Oh, I'm trying to lose weight, okay? That's personal, right? Okay? I've been working on it. COVID wasn't good to me.
Oh, tell me about it. I have no clue what you're talking about. I thought that, because at one point you'd said you got to put your life jacket back on. I didn't realize he caught you while you had your life jacket on.
Yeah, it's so funny when you film something and you get all excited and put something up, and then you realize people send you notes, and, you know, all the points are valid points, mm-hmm. but I'm thinking, you weren't there, guys. Like, I'll do a 3-hour film next time so you see every single thing I do.
See?
But I had my PFD on. I would never be on that water that time of year without a PFD.
Yeah.
And so he hooked me. Thank God he just hooked my sweater.
Right.
And they hooked my dog after that too, and it hooked her life jacket, not her skin. I went, what is wrong with you, man? And so I'm trying to get it off my sweater. I love the sweater, right? And so I did take my PFD off to get it. And then, yes, I realized after I got the hook finally out. I love the moment when he goes, you know what you should do? Yeah, get another partner.
Right?
Don't tell someone what to do when you hook them with a...
get a second boat.
I put the PFD back on. It was all fine. Like, you know, nobody died in the making of the film.
As far as we know.
Yeah.
First rule of killing somebody in the backcountry?
Don't film it.
Don't film it. And it stays in the backcountry.
I'm surprised I've never been hooked in the skin, especially with Ashley. He actually cast like a madman.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm surprised we only caught the one brookie. It was like 5 minutes into the trip. We fished a good half day there. I think it gets hit hard on ice fishing with snowmobiles, ATVs getting in the winter, because
right.
there's a lot of presence of that around, like what I call beer cans. So I, but it was a beautiful lake. In the beginning of the video too, you could tell we didn't care if we caught fish. We didn't even put our lines in the water at the first lake and the first next lake over until we got to the small lakes for brookies. Loons were calling. All of a sudden, wow, just soaking all in, right? And the red-winged blackbirds were fighting over for territory. We saw an immature bald eagle fly over us. We saw a Cooper's hawk going after some finches. We saw a beaver. We saw an otter. We saw the greatest thing ever. Goshawks, which are amazing birds. They're an accipiter, which is in the falcon family. And they're very uncommon, actually. The male is sort of real gray with a Zorro mask on. And it's usually smaller. So I see them up there, and they're calling to each other. I went, oh, this is great. I've only seen this once in my life, and I was in my 20s. So what they do is they go as far up as possible in the air. They call to each other, and they rotate opposite in circles, right? And then they copulate. They start doing it. Sorry, it's improper. They're copulating. And they plunge to the earth while doing it because they can't fly while doing that. And then just before they hit the ground, they separate, fly back up, and do it again. And
wow.
We saw that.
Seems very risky.
So, Kevin What I'm hearing is they went fishing and sat in the boat and watched bird porn.
Yes.
Is that what you're telling me, Kevin?
More than that. Also happened.
Well, more than just bird porn.
Yeah, more than that. Mr. McBride had made the lunch.
Right.
And he made some chutney, or homemade chutney he gave me, and some ham that I think was off. I think the ham was off. Because he's cheap. He's really cheap. He probably brought the ham like last spring. So I'm eating it, and then, you know, then we're heading out. And what happened, actually, too, is funny. We get to the boat launch, and I kind of was grumbly, stomachy then, and I thought maybe I'll go in the backwoods and get rid of this. And then these two guys were there fishing, a couple of East Indian guys. And, you know, they were really excited that we caught a fish. But I said, no, we caught this fish a few legs in. Like, I don't think you're going to catch a trout on the boat launch right here. And we looked at their tackle, and what was really nice, they had us stand or sit on – kayak, and I kind of looked at him and went, you're not going in that, are you? No, too cold. I went, that's fantastic. And it was made me feel good that they, you know, they weren't doing what I thought they were going to do.
Right.
They were pretty smart. And I said, hey, here's a brook trout. And I gave him a brook trout. And they looked at me and said, what's this? And I said, well, it's a speckled trout. Look at the halo color. It's beautiful and best tasting fish. Like, you know, it's the best indicator fish of Ontario. And they go, yeah. I go, it's a tasty sardine. Oh, okay. Thank you.
It's a tasty sardine. I don't think I've ever heard them referred to as that before.
I know.
No.
What did you catch this week? Oh, we caught a bunch of tasty sardines.
But because they were there, I obviously didn't go off in the woods and do what I should have. And then we're driving home, and I went, rumble. Oh, I don't feel well. Nash goes, oh, you can make it home. It's not too far. I went, no, I can't. And I pulled over on the side road, ran off into the bush on someone's laneway, actually. And it was so close. I've never done that in my life. I've been close, but not this close. But, yeah, let's just say always have a roll of TP in your vehicle behind you, and that saved my butt.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
So that is exactly my excuse for going through Tim Hortons drive-thrus and getting donuts. Because when they give you donuts, they give you napkins.
Oh.
Napkins stay in the truck.
Yeah.
I can't just go to Tim Hortons and say, give me napkins. Give me two donuts and give me napkins with those donuts. It covers me.
And of course, you know, when you do that, you know your best friend is going to film you on the way out of the woods.
Of course, as one should.
Yeah, and post it. Yeah.
As one should. Where were you, Kevin? Nowhere, Kevin. So it was a good day out.
Yeah, it really was.
Your first, is this your first paddle of the year?
It was, actually, because I don't have a dry suit like you. I can't afford one. So I generally wait. we usually go out to Algonquin next week, actually. Usually is the week we go for the whole week. But the canoe museum's opening up on, was it May 11th?
Yeah.
So I'm going to that. So I said, guys, we need to change that. So, which is bad because, I mean, it's great that the canoe museum's opening, but we're not going until the week after the long weekend, which I don't think we'll get a lot of trout, and the black flies will be brutal.
I'm going somewhere over the long weekend for 4 days, and I know the trout is going to be awesome.
Yeah?
Yes.
Is it called Loblaws?
No, there's a Loblaw boycott on right now. It's called No Frills. No. Yeah, apparently they're talking about doing a boycott on Loblaw.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a big thing online about it. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. So we don't shop there anyway. I just bypass that. No, we're going up to Temagami.
Oh, wow. Dun, okay. Yeah. Actually, that'd be good because the black flies in Haliburton just came out today. The greenery of the trees just poked out today.
Mm-hmm.
So that's usually the black flies come out. So you've got about 3 days before you're eaten alive in Haliburton, and that will extend to Algonquin. And then, but when you're in Tomami, you're probably going to be in the prime time.
Perfect, right? See,
yeah,
I'm a smart feller.
Oh man, yeah. The Australian peepers are calling. The American toads aren't calling yet, so it's not too early. But the spring peepers and the chorus frogs are calling,
mm-hmm.
and the green frogs are calling now too. So yeah.
And you say the loons are calling.
Oh yeah, man. It's I don't know what it is about the loon call, but it just gets you all excited,
doesn't it? Though,
oh, I love it.
It's camping. It's backcountry. It's nature. It's just that and call. And yet,
they're very odd birds. Like when they'll have two young, but they'll be a couple days apart, mm-hmm. and the older one will kill the other.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they don't want they don't want
no competition, yeah, for the
competition
food.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Just like my three older sisters harass me all my life.
They've just been trying to kill you off.
Yeah, I know.
You're a survivor, Kevin.
but they're a very old bird that has a hollow bone. So they not a solid bone. So it can dive to great depths. And what it will do with Megansers, they hate Megansers on their lake because they're, again, competition, right? Mm-hmm. So they'll come up from below and spear the babies, baby Megansers.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I've seen it happen more than once. It's kind of cool. Huh.
That's just taking brutal. The whole beauty out of nature, isn't it?
I know,
it's
right?
Like they're like very lovely birds.
Film now. So, and did you know loons can't walk on land because their legs are too far back?
Oh, they're too front heavy.
They're really? Prehistoric. Yeah, they're very prehistoric. When I used to ban birds, we used to go to Toronto Airport to get the loons that would land on the airstrip because they would see the reflection from the heat and think it's a lake. And they would land and they couldn't fly again, so we'd have to go and get them because they couldn't take off, and we'd have to take them down to Lake Ontario.
Yeah.
Wow.
We learned that
in
Algonquin Park at one of the nature naturalist talks.
Look at that. Oh. I learned something today.
See?
There you go.
Yes, that's a good thing. Well, it sounds good that you got out and you had a good day fishing. So Frontenac Outfitters, I sounded like Graham Norton from
you,
a day.
You.
Frontenac Outfitters is having their annual spring sale and open house May 3rd, 4th, and 5th. There's free paddle clinics, in-store deals on canoes, kayaks, stand-up paddle boards, paddling equipment, and more. And on the 4th, the Saturday, canoe tripping with Kevin Callan, a renowned Canadian author and educator. 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. is the first clinic. 1 to 2:30 p.m. is the meet and greet with Kevin Callan. This guy sounds pretty good.
I know. He sounds amazing.
3 till 5 is the second clinic. Explore the essentials of canoe tripping, including portaging techniques. I've seen your technique, Kevin. Paddle strokes, selecting the right canoe, gear essentials, and mastering the tump line for efficient travel on the water. But the tump line isn't for on the water.
That sounds like a long day. You're going to be exhausted,
right?
Well, you know what's quite funny is Zach asked me to do it, and it was only a 2-hour clinic for paddling, and I went, no problem. And then Christine lives nearby, so I was going to visit her. And then if I do something, I do a lot of workshops at Frontenac Outfitters. I always get meatloaf. She serves me meatloaf when I get back. And then it was her that told me, Kevin, you're there all day. They added on to your
schedule. So you're saying no meatloaf?
Well, she goes, you'll have the meatloaf, but it'll be cold when you get here.
It's in the fridge, Kevin. Yeah, so that sounds good to be getting up there, and because it sounds like they're trying to get there's free canoe classes and kayak classes and all that sort of stuff.
Plus all the spring sale stuff.
Plus all the yeah.
Yeah,
that sounds quite a good thing.
Yeah, the Frontenac Outfitters are fantastic. And Ben from Palheads, he actually does some work there as well.
Right.
So and then Zach and all the rest of them. They're a good bunch. They really are. And I like it because I don't – you've been there. You've actually –
Oh, yeah. That's where I got my dry suit from.
Yeah, yeah. It's out of the way, like the zigzaggy road on the way in, right? So it's not like going to MAC down in Toronto, but it's a better drive.
Speaking of, apparently they are building a new mech in Whitby.
Yes, I heard that.
Another one?
Yeah, out Whitby way. So I guess they're going to be competition for sale. Right, because the big—that's where I go. I go to sail in Whitby, because I was going downtown Toronto, and then I was going to the North York Mech, and then I'm like, because I can't park in their underground parking lot at Mech North York, because my truck is like mere inches away from the sprinkler system.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
And they may take a dim view if I rip that out of the ceiling and flood the parking garage.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just me. and driving all, like, I won't even drive downtown Toronto. I've got to take the public transit down there because there's just too many dumb people driving down there. So I started going to sale, and I noticed the mech pricing and the sale pricing was almost exactly the same.
Oh, yeah?
So why am I going all the way out there to get, when I could just go like 15 minutes
sale,
down the road?
Yeah, exactly.
So I got to think, if their prices are close, that's why they're building another mech out here,
yeah.
A, to service everybody out this way, and to give everybody a second option. They also carry some things that sale doesn't, too, so... But yeah,
I like sale. I go there. Well, I teach near there, Clarendon, and well, Uxbridge is a little bit further away. Mm-hmm. But on the way home, I'll go to sale and get some fishing lures and stuff. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's my go-to place anymore is sale. So anyway, FrontenacOutfitters.com if you want to find out more about what Kevin and everybody else is doing up there in May 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Sounds like a good time.
It's. Is it Dave Johnson? He's doing a navigational workshop. There's kayak workshops. There's you can try all the gear out. And yeah,
do you want me to get into everything that's going on here, Kevin? I can.
You know more than I do because obviously my partner told me what I was doing on Saturday.
Yeah, there's a camping workshop with Megan and Kevin, certified paddling wilderness tripping instructors, kayak clinics with Kevin and Megan, whitewater kayaking demos with Rob Yeager, Jackson Kayak representative.
Yeah, no, that's good. I didn't know that. That would be good to see all those people.
First look at the new Dagger Indra whitewater kayak with Paul Britton from Dagger Kayaks. Ooh, really? Inflatable kayak fishing and rigging features with the Wilderness Systems ATAC with Paul Britton from Wilderness Systems. My kayak's Wilderness Systems. Barbecue Smoker Boy serves up lunch. Free paddling and clinics workshops. Yeah, everything's kayaking. Navigation with David Johnson, level 4 paddling instructor. There's just Kevin Callan goofball again. Ian Holmes from Warner Paddle.
Oh, really?
Choosing the right paddle.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. Paddle construction demystified with Ian Holmes.
Okay.
Choosing the right stand-up paddleboard with Patrick Quinney of Level 6, the representative. Understanding stand-up paddleboard equipment with Patrick Quinney. Whitewater kayaking with Rob Yeager. Kayak fishing with Aaron Dodds from Kayak Bass Canada. Jackson Kayak and Yak Attack Pro Team. And that's just like on the 4th and 3rd and 4th.
Yeah, and then there's still a lot of stuff going on.
Dry suit fitting with Brian. Oh, where were you 2 years ago, Brian? When I was getting my dry suit. Is this the time? The PFD for me with Brian Cook, NRS representative. And inflatable kayak fishing again with Brian Cook. Apparently Brian's day is all day.
Yeah, I haven't seen Brian for a long time. I saw him at Bon Echo Park camping with his kids.
Well, you're going to have to go on the Sunday then. You're there all day Saturday doing stuff, so you might as well go back Sunday.
No, I'm having leftover meatloaf.
I think you should just, like, camp in your car. Bring it with you. Have Christine come up and bring it to you. I've got conspiracy theories about Christine.
I invited her up. I invite her. Everything so she doesn't exist anymore. But, no, I invited her to go with me and actually be in the bow to help me out. She goes, what about the two dogs? I went, well, bring the dogs. And that's what happened. She goes, have you looked at your schedule, Kevin? I went, I'm only there for 2 hours. No, you're not.
Yeah, you're there for 2 hours, then you're there for 2 hours, then you're there for 2 hours. It'll be good. It'll be good. Like I say, they always put on a good thing, and everybody that goes up sees a lot of good information. Kevin, do you want to talk about snakes or snakes?
I don't like snakes. Don't tell people that. It's...
Don't tell people that.
Okay, so...
You know this is being recorded, right?
Yeah. Kevin, you don't like snakes? Say it in snow.
Especially water snakes. Water snakes freak me out because they're attracted to agitation. So they'll swim over to you in the water if you move.
Uh-huh.
Or if you're in the canoe or the boat, they'll swim over and get into the boat.
Uh-huh.
And they're very aggressive and they will bite. They're not poisonous, but they'll bite you. And so my buddy actually knew that when he saw one. He goes, "Oh, Kevin, look at that noise."
So funny, you just talked about half of the one story.
Yeah.
Visitors on a rafting expedition in Thailand were thrown into a panic after encountering a large king cobra. Shared on social media, the nerve-wracking event quickly generated widespread online discussions. The group were enjoying a relaxing day on the water when shouts about an incoming snake startled them. They couldn't initially spot the reptile, but immediately left the water as cries from the other bank intensified and the snake floated past them. It eventually got trapped under a nearby raft. Another group of tourists bravely undertook capturing the snake. What's wrong with you?
I know, right?
It's a king cobra.
Just let it go. Well, they didn't know what it was at the time.
A task that proved difficult due to the cobra's location. Upon recognizing the reptile as a king cobra, the group's fears escalated. And they all joined Kevin in the woods.
Really?
Where they all shared a roll of toilet paper from Kevin's car.
Yeah.
Once the snake was secured, everyone hastily gathered their belongings and left the scene, as one does.
Yes.
Their outing now marred by the unexpected scary event. The incident sparked various reactions on social media, with many commenting on the harrowing video. There is a video here. I didn't see it, but there is a video. And emphasizing the necessity for caution during outdoor activities in wildlife-rich areas. I, for one, would rather come up against a bear than a snake. Because at least the bear, you can see him.
What depends?
Look in the grass. Look at that tall grass. There's a bear. You're not seeing the cobra, are you?
Well, if it's a garter snake, it's different.
No, it's not. Could be carrying a knife.
Well, when a garter snake, you catch a garter snake, it pees on you and it's very strong ammonia. You'll
yeah,
smell
they
for
stink.
Two,
right? And they yeah. bite you. They got those little pinhole. Well,
garter snake has more like a Velcro mouth. Like it'll bite you and it will somewhat hurt, but nothing like a king cobra.
No,
like
exactly.
A king cobra, for instance.
One and a half centimeter long fangs.
We were in Algonquin at Pog Lake, and some kids came across a water snake there and thought it would be in their best interest to grab it. And they're walking up to the campground, and this water snake's latched right onto her arm.
Oh.
And they can't get it off. Mom! Let go of it. Maybe it'll let go of you.
That's like a John Candy, the Great Outdoors scene.
Oh,
like,
isn't it, though?
I remember going to Kilbear Park once to go camping. Actually, I was giving a presentation that night, and the guy in front of me, you know when you go to Kilbear, they have signs saying, watch for snakes, and they're Mississauga rattlesnakes, right?
Yeah. The poisonous ones.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're legally protected. They're on the dangerous species list. So it's great that they have the signs up. So I'm behind this guy, and all of a sudden he puts the brakes on, and he gets out, and what's going on? And there's a snake going across the road. So he's doing his duty, I guess, by getting it off the road. And he grabs it and it bites him. I'm like, oh, God. So I get out, and I look at it, and it's a Mississauga rattlesnake. I went, oh, that's not good, bud. We got to get the warden here. So I know the warden really well. Called him, and they're like, we need to get him to the hospital in Parry Sound. I think there's two places, Sudbury and Parry Sound, that has the anti-venom. Well, both of them were out of anti-venom. So they had to wait till venom was sent from Spain. I guess that guy had to wait in the hospital for 3 days. He almost died. I remember him saying,
Dave, the closest place.
I'll never help wildlife again. I'll never.
I ran over that snake 18 times. Forward, backward, forward, backward. I met your cousin last year. Yeah, I'm sorry. If I see a snake, I'm just going to drive in the ditch and go around him.
Yeah.
Oh, good times, Kevin. So, let's get on to the other one here. 2011, Fleming College in Peterborough, Ontario, where you work.
Yeah, I've been working there for 34 years.
Uh-huh. So you were here for this. First Canadian college to ban plastic water bottle sales on campus. So Kevin, ever since, has been smuggling them in his bag.
Yeah.
Since then, Fleming has introduced many green initiatives, from establishing pollinator gardens implementing invasive species control, setting up an apiary, and creating a nut orchard. There are multiple Fleming programs that have an environmental and ecological focus. 2022, the college and Crayola partnered with the United Way of Kawartha Lakes to establish the Edwin Binney's Community Garden in Lindsay, Ontario, which grows fresh, affordable produce with the help of Fleming's Sustainable Agricultural Program students and faculty. Last year, the garden produced over 18,000 pounds of produce that was distributed for free to more than 4,000 community members.
Wow, that's impressive.
Right? Garden is a living laboratory, providing our students with an invaluable hands-on educational experience that travels far outside the classroom. Hands-on, environmental, educational, right?
Yep.
Tanya Clarick, Dean of School Environmental and Natural Resource Sciences, is extremely proud of Fleming's land stewardship projects. One example is the creation of a tall grass prairie seed orchard and prairie reconstruction at the College Frost campus in Lindsay, which is where you are, is it not, Kevin?
Yeah, I've always worked at the Frost campus, yeah.
Will directly contribute to Kawartha Conservation's Durham Eco Corridor project, an ambitious multi-year project that will restore the environmental quality and ensure the protection of critical 11-hectare section of the Oak Ridges Moraine. These grasses provide habitat to endangered species, so it's a very important project. I am going somewhere with this. At Frost Campus, energy, water, and waste reduction initiatives are in place, while the Environmental Technology Wing includes energy-efficient construction and geothermal heating. There are electric vehicle stations at the Southern Campus in Peterborough, and Halliburton Campus boasts a rainwater catchment system and studio materials recovery, recycled glass and metal. Fleming continues to build upon its unique environmental educational programming through a commitment to increasing the number of experiential and applied learning opportunities in its programs and research initiatives that support local sustainability goals. It also plans to engage the broader community through initiatives with various community partners, including Sustainable Peterborough, Otonabee Region Conservation Authority, and Trent University. All of Fleming's sustainability initiatives circle back to the students sitting in its classrooms. We hope our students are going to make an impact in the fields they're entering because we're shaping environmentally responsible future leaders while they're with us. If we on campus are modeling a sustainable culture, the hope is they'll take this behavior and respect for the natural environment out into the world. Those impacts go far beyond our small campus community. So, this is directly from Fleming's website, what I just read. So it's pretty cool, all the initiatives, all getting the students, the programs and all that, all doing these programs. April 26th of this year.
16th?
Yeah, or sorry, April 16th. Sorry, I was reading 2024 and 16 at the same time. April 16th, 2024, there was a little thing put on their website as well. With a steadfast commitment to a greener future, Fleming College has emerged as a trailblazer in integrating sustainable practices across its campuses and curriculum. This dedication to environmental stewardship has earned Fleming College a spot on a list of Canada's top green employers for 2024. Employers were graded on several factors: unique environmental initiatives or programs, success in reducing their environmental footprint, employee involvement with green programs, and whether those environmental initiatives have become linked to the employer's public identity, attracting new employees. So everything points to them being leaders in environmental, both in the classroom, in the workplace.
Yeah.
Everything is environment, environment, environment. Having said all that, Fleming has announced the cancellation of the following courses in 2024. Conservation and Environmental Law Enforcement, Ecological Restoration, Ecosystem Management Technology, Emergency Management, environmental technician, environmental technology, environmental visual communication, fish and wildlife technology.
It's
not a lot of people are happy about this. So everything on their website points to how great they are with their environment. And then this news comes out.
Yeah.
From my side of the fence, Kevin, this does not look good.
It doesn't look good at all, actually. I'll go over some goods and bads. First of all, that campus is amazing. The people I've worked with for over three decades, incredible, really dedicated. It's a very small campus. It also is a mixture of education. So you'll have fish and wildlife, you'll have law enforcement, but you also have environmental management, ecosystem skills. But you also have drilling and blasting, and you'll have heavy equipment. So I used to teach in a course called Environmental Issues Debate, and we'd all be in the lecture hall together, and they'd all fight against each other. But things would happen because they were communicating with all those resource extractionists and protectionists, right?
Right.
It always has been that, and just lovely time. And, you know, the last few years, well, more than a few years, I went away from that, and I still taught there, but I also taught high school guys that weren't doing well in high school. And it's called a dual credit. So I can teach them ecosystem skills from the college. So I teach them how to identify trees, birds, whatever, and goshawks copulating, things like that. And, and so when they pass my class, they get out of high school instead of getting in, you know, whether it's jail, drugs, whatever, or they all have some issues. And then they get into post-secondary and they've excelled. So that's been a really good thing. What happened lately was a shock to a lot of people because there was an open house at the Frost campus with the professors I know promoting their programs and how proud they were of their programs. Little did they know there was a meeting going on with the higher ups canceling 29 programs, more than what you just listed. And they were promoting those programs. So students were signing up for them. Mm-hmm. Parents were all grateful. Third-year students going to third year were getting leases on their rentals in Lindsay, and then all of a sudden it hit the news. And everybody's like, what? I didn't know anything except hearing the news on, I think it was the Wednesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you can imagine working there for 30 years and seeing all this positive, and then boom, just slap.
Right out of the blue.
So everybody thought it was because nobody was enrolling in the programs. That's not the case. What happened was, and this is the other side of the coin, the college had to do those drops, according to them, is because the government capped the international students. So the last few years, what happened is that they brought international students in to make more money and to get more students in, and that's fine, that's great. But then there were some issues about more and more international students coming in, where they're going to live. So there was a cap put on them. So therefore, they said, well, we're not having students, the numbers of students we had before, so where's the money? And the other is Doug Ford took money away from colleges and universities, right? So those two things made them say, okay, well, we got to do something.
Right.
So they dropped all these programs. Now, not all programs at the Frost campus are canceled. So fish and wildlife, for example, the technician program still exists. The technology program doesn't. The difference is that one's a three-year program, one's a two-year, right? Urban forestry doesn't exist, but forestry technicians still exist. So it's not all doom and gloom. However, it is, because when I went there the other day to pick up my mineral sample for my students, the morale was done. Absolutely.
So,
done. Yeah. Because if you look at it, there all the one programs that were saved, like drilling and blasting, which actually I work in, I teach them the gen eds, whatever, and they're really lovely people, and I love that program. But it's just really interesting when you look at it. There was more industrial programs saved and environmental programs not saved. And it's, you know, I'm not a stupid man. Okay? And it's like, are you kidding me? So I think what's going on, and I might be completely wrong with this. So this is a hypothesis, just like you're studying copulated goshawks flying in the air. Well, why are they doing that? What I think was going on is that the colleges saw what was going on with the Doug Ford government, and they knew that the vote's coming in. So they did this to piss everybody off and not vote Doug Ford in.
Right.
But by doing that, all these jobs and all these students and all these parents are in dismal times. And that's not right. I mean, to actually have people promote a program at an open house, not knowing that they already knew that the program didn't exist. Also, I'm pretty sure some parents and students are going to take the higher ups to court because they put money into leasing when they already knew those courses were exactly. canceled. So that's a legal issue right there, right?
Right. Now I know there's I know one woman whose son, I think it is supposed to be going there in the fall. I haven't talked to her because she's been off this week, but I guess apparently now he's not.
Yeah, yeah.
No, so what do you do with that? If all of a sudden that was your choice of colleges or universities, sort of thing, right? I know Mike, you pick three and then you sign up. Hopefully, you get accepted to one. And if that's the one you got accepted to, and okay, we're going to do this. Forget the rest of them. I don't need you guys.
And now you have to regroup.
And now you got to regroup, replan.
Can you apply this late to other programs and other?
But everybody should know this. This is just the beginning. It's not, if this just happened to one college, it's not going to stop. I'm pretty sure in the next couple of weeks, there's going to be major media that all the other colleges are dropping programs too. Yes, even trying to save money, get rid of the third year program, because there was a system, ecosystem management. You would go to there for 2 years at the college, and then you go to Trent University to hire up that, and you get become a technologist, right? And you would do it in less time and less money. They got rid of that program. So let's say, okay, well, then get rid of that program, and then you become a technician at the college or you become a technologist at university. That's the old days, that's what we did, right? But get rid of that. That's fine. But it wasn't just that. Like, so, yes, get rid of urban forestry. But here's the thing. So I looked into it. None of the programs that I looked into had less numbers. In fact, the one on water conservation that they kept – 100% of the students last semester were international students.
Oh, right? Wow. Okay.
So that makes no sense. If you're saying we've capped it because international students have been capped, but yet the one class that was full of international students is still going, something is afoot.
Yeah. Now, I know somebody, whether this is, again, I don't know for sure. It's just something I read there was, I think it was Seneca College. They were talking about 28,000 students. 10,000 of those are international students. I mean, that's a big number.
Yeah, there was a lot of international students. I saw that in the last couple of years. We go into like the Peterborough campus, and you know, I would say just visually, you would see about 3/4 of the hallway filled with international students, which is fine. I mean, they're coming in to get an education. They're paying high price for it.
Yeah,
And then moving on with their life. That's fantastic.
Well, the question is, why are they all coming here? We must be doing something right in our education system, you know, the programs, if they're coming here.
It's because, well, the one example I can tell you is that the Peterborough campus created a trades program, so how to build houses and stuff like that, right? And a lot of money went into it, but people from Ontario, like, already were not filling the seats, and they thought they would. So there was a panic. And I'm not an expert with this at all. So I'm just a part-time teacher that teaches there. And right now I just go to high schools and teach the kids. They're all messed up. but when I went to the college, that's what I saw. And then, of course, everybody was saying, well, we don't have the houses for these people. We have to do something. And so they capped it. So I think that's what happened. And so there's a lot of things going on why this happened. But at the end of the day, because I always think at the end of the day, what do I think? Well, it seems to be the provincial government is looking more towards development than they are looking at the environment. If you're getting rid of the conservation officer law program, think about it. That means no one's going around looking to see if you're poaching.
Right. See, and that was the top of the list of what was canceled there.
Yeah, and if you're getting rid of the ecosystem management program, those are the people that go over after developers. For example, if you're going to open a mine.
Yeah.
Those people would go into the site and see if there's any endangered species. If there are, well, sorry, you can't have the mine here. Well, that program's done. Water treatment to make sure that remember the, when we all got poisoned in Walkerton.
Yeah,
that's been minimized. Really? Oh, I think that's pretty important.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and if you look at it, like I made a list of things that you didn't have for things that. Here's the thing that really people should know. On the other side of the coin, They're not canceled. Those programs aren't canceled. They're suspended.
Okay.
So politically, the youth were suspended. So what that means is if they threaten the provincial government saying, look what you did. This is all your fault. You did this. And we're suspending until you give us more money. I think that's what's going on.
Right.
Because they didn't cancel. And my boss, because I was worried about my job, right? I'm part-time too, so that doesn't really help me. But he said, well, ecosystem skills, there's still enough programs at the Frost campus that need ecosystem skills, so you still have a job this fall. Come the spring when all this happens next year, you most likely will get bumped because if you're part-time, a full-timer that has no hours is going to take your job, which I'm going to love, to be quite honest. I'm going to put a camera on their head and watch them walk into my class and try to teach these guys in North Toronto frog ID that are all having major issues, and they won't take them outside. I can't wait because I know that – sounds like I'm knocking the full-time class. But
no, you know the program. You know what goes into it. You know the kind of kids that you're dealing with. And when other people get in there expecting just a regular classroom, not having the, like you say, 34 years experience, it's not going to go well.
Well, when you're teaching a student that's on the spectrum and a prof says, well, they're stupid. And I looked at the guy when he said that. I went, that kid's smarter than you. He just thinks different than you. And you shouldn't be in this classroom. I don't even know how he ever got a job teaching.
Yeah. It's... Like I say, I did see the whole list of all the ones that are suspended, but I just sort of went at the environmental and the ecology ones here. And like I say, conservation, we already, like everybody complains about there's not enough conservation officers out there. You know, I mean, even down in Bowmanville, we walk down there and we watch people with big treble hooks snagging the salmon.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. And we've actually gone in. My brother and I almost got in a fight one year because he walked up to this guy, cut the line. But when you got it, you know, like three guys that are 6 feet tall and you're only 5 feet, you're not going to go against them. But like everybody complains, well, you know, we need more conservation officers out there, and
but
blah,
now
blah,
we're
blah,
not going to train them,
and now we're not going to train them, so there's not going to be any new ones out there to.
No, I'm more of a sit on the face. Sit on the fence. Oh, no.
Okay, we'll just edit that one out. You're cut off, buddy.
I'm on the fence of a person. I'm not an extremist. I'm not a civil disobedience person. Mind you, I will poke the bear to get things going. But if you think about it, if you could have a tailgate beer party and then snag some fish illegally because there's no CO after you, there's something wrong with our society.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Well, I mean, that's like people wandering in, coming from outside Algonquin Park to go in, and because there's nobody there.
Yeah, there's nobody to enforce the rules.
So somebody gets mad at you because you're on a site, but you're not going to show them the permit that you don't have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? So this is what it's going to lead to. It's going to be chaos out there. Chaos, I tell you.
Yeah.
You know what? Hopefully, like you say, Kevin, hopefully it's just a ploy to get the government to pony up. And then as you say, they unsuspend them and, you know, but, just looking at these programs from our side of things doesn't look good. And we've even heard of some people saying like their high school outdoor ed, courses are now being canceled as well.
Yes, I've heard that too. I heard some people comment about it at their high school level.
Yeah.
It's being reduced or canceled. Mostly reduced.
That's already happened. Yeah. So that happened the last 2 days. Yeah. For various reasons. One is that a lot of students don't sign up for it anymore, but also single individual principals, vice principals are worried about liability. Mm-hmm. Teachers I work with, they're fed up. They were retiring early. They're passing the baton, but there's no one to catch the baton, that sort of thing. It's if you get to point that nobody's interested in the environment, then you really can kiss it goodbye. But what does that mean? That means actually we're done.
Yeah.
Right. I was writing an article on, hermits that live in the woods. I asked seven individual hermits across Canada. So what's going to happen? And I said, what will be the demise of the human species? And all of them in separate interviews said self-interest will be the demise of us all.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on now, because you look at it, what's going on now with the college, why people are so upset is that accountability. There's none. Right? It's accountability. Communication, there's none. Right? And I've been working there for 3 decades. It was never like that. I'm not saying that the times in the back days were better, but we communicated. And also, it's the sign of the environment versus industry, and industry is going to win over.
Yeah. And that's not a good thing. And I mean, we've talked about, we've made a big deal on the good and the bad, that since COVID, so many new people have started going into the outdoors. Because, you
exactly,
know, it's
yeah.
the people that
it's
can,
huge.
It's older people that can afford the canoes and the kayaks yeah. and all that sort of stuff. So now you think, okay, well, that's great. We're getting these kids into the schools and stuff, doing all the environmental and outdoor stuff to get them involved and keep it going. But, you know, it's getting so huge that you need to keep these programs to make sure everything is there for, like, your kids.
So we're hitting peak popularity, but then
there's no accountability, like you say, out there now is, okay, well, I guess I can just do this, and we're going to get more, you know, I mean, our big thing is with the invasive species.
Yeah.
Right? There's no control on it, then what happens? Everything, because I think Algonquin now is the spiny water flea.
Oh, yes.
Water flea, yeah, bad. North T is, in Manitou is bad, yeah.
Yeah. So then, okay, well, then if we don't have enough people to be scoping all this out, it goes unchecked just that much longer.
Unchecked, unnoticed until it's like...
too late.
Exploded, yeah.
Right? So, yeah, it's like you say, we're screwed.
Potentially. And people will say, too, that when COVID happened, a lot of those environmental programs were low numbers. And I did my research on that, and they weren't. In fact, the majority of them were going up in numbers.
Right.
So that's all false, too. So there again, there's something afoot. Something's going on, and we're going to hear more and more about this.
Yeah.
I feel for my students. At the end of the day, I just care about my students, actually. I don't make a lot of money what I do, and I can move on to get another job and another adventure. My mother phoned me last night, reminded me of that. Oh, you're going to be fine, son. You'll be fine.
You can move back home, Kevin.
But I think that the students, you imagine being a student right now and finding out that you've been taught this course and it means nothing because there's no job for you.
Right.
Or no program for you.
Yeah.
There's jobs. But
there's jobs, but nobody to train to be in the job.
Yeah, yeah. And also the morale. Like, once you get someone that's in front of the students and very excited teaching them, and then all of a sudden they're just punched in the face, they don't care anymore.
No.
And then the students won't care anymore, and then the environment's screwed.
Well, you know what? Like, when I was in high school, I wanted to be an archaeologist, but I just didn't have the cash. So I went into computer programming, and that's what everybody was. And when we graduated, like, there was so many computer programmers.
Oh,
there,
yeah.
Right? And then it's like, well, that little diploma on your wall doesn't really mean diddly squat because you can't get a job.
Yeah.
Right. Or you're working to pay for peanuts just to, you know, pay your rent sort of deal. But then you got everything switches to go for the trades. Nobody wants to do the trades anymore. Electrician, all that.
Exactly.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Plumber. And you'll make great cash because no one wants to do it anymore.
And
get the
they
outdoor
pay
stuff
you while you
right?
train you.
Yeah. Go for the outdoor stuff because who wants to go sit outdoors? Well, now you got all these people with that mindset. And now all of a sudden, it's
and
like,
you're ratcheting back the training.
Now you're just ratcheting back the training, and half these people are going to go. Well, I guess it's back to an office job for me for the rest of my life.
Yeah,
which is not good. We've all seen that.
No,
right? Like, there's days I see people in my office that are just like at wit's end, and there's days where I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to go sit in my truck for a while and windows down and yell at the squirrels. Right? I've almost trained the squirrels at work to come when I whistle.
Oh, yeah.
Right? See? We got Reggie and Phil the squirrels out front here. So I'm slowly gathering my army.
Hey, that is a fine line because I've been teaching at a college post-secondary for long enough. I can tell you that you've got a good point. And other people that have sent me messages have a good point, too, where, well, now it's time for people to realize that college and university is a waste of your time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, okay, that's a good point. That's a good point because there are a lot of students that went into my program and never got a job into it, whether there was no jobs. And even when I graduated from forestry, there was a recession. So the only way I got a forestry job is that you either You got more unemployment basically because you're on unemployment long enough that you got more if you worked, right?
Right.
Or if you're going to prison for 2 years. So I worked with people
in prison.
And I did. And in fact, my foreman was a guy that almost killed a guy with a chain. He was a good foreman, though. But
the guy's name wasn't Kevin, was it?
No, God. But that is a very valid point. And then more people should go in the trades, and I get that. What's happening here is bigger than that. It's not to do with the colleges and universities, and people aren't going to go there anymore because they're not getting the money from the government. Well, the government should actually sit, not give them the money because they don't deserve the money because those kids aren't getting the jobs that they thought they would get. You need someone to further educate people, right? At the end of the day, the more educated we are, whether you learned it at the trades, most of my students actually learn from the trades afterwards, or they go to the military, but they get confidence and they get educated. And then all of a sudden when they're doing something wrong and you say, hey, that's wrong, they're like, oh yeah. As opposed to, I don't give a shit, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big difference. Yeah, and I mean, I've been following some of this stuff on social media and some of the comments. I mean, even on the post you made about, you know, hey, this is a bit of a, you know, this is insane. These are being suspended. And just the, you know, you see the people, this isn't good. This is bad. This is, you know, not happy about this. I graduated from there back in the day and really sad to see this. And then there's the, well, you know, it's all Doug Ford and it's all his fault. And, you know, and then I just wait. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure Trudeau's name is going to pop in there somewhere, you know. And there's all the different little conspiracy theories and stuff like that go on in there. And you're just like, at that point, you just got to stop reading.
Yeah.
It's true. And just to bring it back to the beginning is that what happened was my buddy Ashley, he had to work. He works in a factory at night making wire and stuff like that. Really great guy. So he works in the trades. Makes a lot more money than I do. He calls me up. He goes, I'm going to get off work early. I'm doing midnights. I'll pick you up. We're going to go out fishing. I went, why? He goes, I just saw your post. Your minds must be racing. Right. And so at the end of the day, he took me out. We saw so many species out there. It was incredible. And I could care less if I caught that brook trout or not.
It's all about the goshawks.
Yeah. Well, watching goshawks have sex, that was amazing.
Yeah.
And when they flew back up, both had a cigarette in their mouth.
Right. So basically what you're telling me is Ashley picked you up to drive you out to a lake to watch bird porn.
Yeah, yeah,
with a buddy like that.
I know.
Yeah, you got to think your mind's racing when you're reading stuff like that. You know, when.
Well, yeah,
out of the blue sort of thing.
Yeah, I really. I mean, high anxiety. If you work at a place for 34 years and you. No, I go out of the my problem is I go out of the way with these guys. And the amount of times I've gone to the friggin' funerals of students who commit suicide, some of that, because like, my kids are all have issues, right? And to find out that you know they didn't even tell you had to hear about it on the news that you might not have a job, and then my first reaction is what's going to happen to these guys I'm teaching right now?
Mm-hmm.
If I go into the classroom and tell them the next day, oh by the way, did you hear? They're going to say, well, then all the stuff you've been teaching me about the environment, the species, whatever, is a waste of our time. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Right? And I hate to say this. I should never say this on air, but I lied. I didn't tell them today.
They're going to find out eventually. But yeah.
They're having a good day. We made bannock. Yeah. And I got some hot sauce that somebody gave me at the Toronto show.
Right.
And I said, here, try this. To watch them.
I'm gonna die. we had sort of along the food thing. My son dropped by there yesterday, and he's in the reserves, so he was on they were out in the field there doing some stuff. He had a couple old ration or newer ration packs than the ones I'm used to back in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going through it. My wife's never seen what ration packs are, and my daughter's never seen military ration packs and all that sort of stuff. So we're sitting there, and let me tell you, the sausage and hash browns from 2024, is exactly the same as the sausage and hash browns from the late 80s. That's all I got.
How old was this meal pack?
But they used to come with like ketchups and stuff like that, and salt and pepper. No, now they come with Tabasco, a little like ketchup packet of Tabasco. So many people like, and hot I mean, sausage, this actually has nothing to do with what we're talking about here, but so many people like hot sauces now. You know, over like the last, 10 years? I guess there's real, Sriracha, I think, started it all. And now there's so many different hot sauces. And as that little old lady says, I put that beep on everything. But yeah, I mean, we watch the videos you're posting, and it looks like they're having a blast, and you know, and they're learning at the same time.
Oh, definitely. You know? So I got 3 weeks left. I bought the marks together the other day, and I'm not lying to you. The average mark in Halliburton, Clarendon, North Toronto, and Uxbridge is 98%. And these were students that were not going to pass high school, or were not passing high school. Something else was going to happen to them. So they said, here, take them. And then people would say, well, they must be cheating. No, we're outside all day. Yes, I taught them species ID today, but during that, we made bannock with hot sauce. Yeah. With a big fire in front of us.
You know, a lot of people put into too much emphasis on sitting in the classroom and watching somebody write on a board. I know my brother, for one, is if you took him out and, you know, you showed him what to do and let him do it, no problem. Yeah. That's how the hands-on learning is huge. Yeah. So when you're out there and showing them, here's the tree, what is that? Here's an animal, what is that? Here's a this, what is it? And you're not just showing it to them in a board or something like that. It helps.
Yeah. And I'm worried that it you know, I'm not saying that when I'm not saying that I'm the best of the whole thing, whatever, because that's wrong. You can't run a program of just one individual.
Yeah.
But if he goes back to some other person that goes back to the lecture hall for 2.5 hours and does species ID in the lecture hall, these students I have, they have the attention span of 4 minutes.
Right.
Right. So they will fail miserably. They'll feel bad about themselves, and then they'll get themselves in trouble. And it doesn't work that way.
It's a spiral.
And yeah. So I worry too much. I think too much. It's probably because I'm a writer.
Yeah, but you know what? There's not enough people doing it for the appropriate things.
Oh, I know that. I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not a big fan of teachers. I shouldn't say that.
Teachers are scum.
No, not all teachers. The good ones are amazing, but a lot of them go into it because they think they get the summers off, they get a good pay, and they hate their students. Right? I've seen that over my career. I've seen it a lot, probably too much. I remember years ago, there was one guy I used to work with in environmental issues, and I taught the drilling, blasting, heavy equipment guys environmental issues, right?
Right.
And he goes, they're all stupid. I went, well, first of all, the ones that you should be teaching this course to are them. They'll figure things out. If I go to your environmental management program, I'm converting the convertible. Or what a convertible.
Converting the convertibles.
But if you want to make a change, ask them how to actually make an engine that's environmental, but make a profit, but make money, right?
Right.
And they did. I remember when at the time when what's the fuel that's made from vegetable?
The biofuel?
Yeah, biofuel. All my heavy equipment guys said that won't work in the far north. It will freeze. Also, you're clear cutting a huge area to make that happen. So they made air compressors to actually run their machines, because that's what they did down in the mines, so they wouldn't inhale the exhaust, right?
Right.
And they go, there you go. You got to fix right there. The environment, yeah, that's good. Yeah, we're saving the environment, whatever. But I'm getting money for this, right? Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, that's a good example of the Frost campus. I mean, that all happened at the Frost campus. We'd all get together and we'd debate and argue. But all that's going to be gone. If you're thinking like 29 programs.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is just one establishment.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
What's going to go at other colleges and universities?
Yeah. So, yes, you can say that, you know, post-secondary isn't all that important. we should emphasize on other things. I agree with that, but at the same time, I don't agree with that. People lacking education and mm-hmm. environmental education.
Yeah, we got to keep it up. Got to get it back somehow.
This right. is not and also have a roll of toilet paper in your car because your buddy might give you something that's not good.
Or make sure you stop at lots of donut shops.
And get napkins.
Get coffee and donuts with napkins. Can I get a coffee, a couple of donuts, and I don't know, like 4 or 5 napkins? Because, yeah, I'm going up with this guy Kevin next week, and he might need them. yeah, well, you know what? We've seen this, and we've been talking about this thing, and we figure why not get somebody that's close to the right at Fleming to come and chit chat with us. So I thought, hey, who can we get? Well, they weren't available, so we thought Kevin.
I figured that.
I did
think second about it because this is all new. So I want everybody to know I'm not a professional of all the stuff I just blabbled all about, but it is a personal thing that happened to me. Mm-hmm. And I hope it doesn't affect me at the college by going on the media about it. But then again, at the same time, it needs to be said. So.
Well, and that's exactly it. And the fact that I'm going to send a copy of this directly to the president there. No, it does need to be said.
It does. You got to talk about it.
You got to bring this out into the public so that they know, hey, you know what? There is an issue going on. You know, here's what we know that's going on. There is probably more to it that we don't know yet, but keep an eye on it because it could affect, especially our listeners. It's definitely going to affect them because they're the ones out there paddling and going into the environment and whatnot that somewhere down the line, it's probably going to affect them. So keep your ears open and do what you can to help out, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, accountability, communication, and look at the obvious. Industry versus environment right now. Who's winning?
Well, you know what? And when you say that, all I can think of is the old Dougie Ford trying to pass off the Oak Ridge Moraine there to his buddies.
Swing a deal. Right?
Swing a deal and
get rid of the protected land. And
yeah. So, again, I mean, just to go back forth, is this now something, well, if we don't give them the money, they're going to have to cancel these courses, and then no one's going to be there to protect what we're going to give you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's so messed up, too, because then everybody's, because I don't want to be sounding like I'm anti-Doug Ford. Well, actually, I am. I don't like any politician. Actually, I find that we don't have any leadership at all in Canada anymore. In any province, we don't have any leadership. For a long time, I haven't seen anybody. Even my own people that lead me at the college, I don't see any leadership. I don't know where that happened. I mean, back in the day, you really respected the people that you worked with. My colleagues, by the way, though, are friggin' awesome. Like, amazing.
Fantastic. Yeah. Salt of the earth, every one of them.
Yeah, no, they really are. There's not one. Even if we're offline, there's not one I would go nuts on. They're amazing. And I'm feeling bad for them because I went to the campus the other yesterday and they were all miserable, and because I've been there long enough, I started telling stories, right? And I'm a storyteller, and I started telling about the practical jokes we used to play on each other and stuff like that. We all started laughing, right?
Yeah.
This is good. Kim is making us laugh. And the one guy that actually is the physical instructor for conservation officer, he's the karate guy, right? He's tough as nails, right? He starts bawling. I went, so sorry, man. He goes, oh, no. Like, you just emphasize why we like this place so much. Yeah. It's all gone. Yeah. Everything's gone. Which people have dealt with in all their jobs. I mean, there's factories have closed, working at GM, whatever, all those people. So I'm not saying, oh, woe is us. I'm just saying those higher-ups should know that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And if you're going to think that you're going to rekindle that spirit, no, you're not.
Yeah, the damage is done.
Yeah. You know what, though? Like, I mean, I worked at Grandin Toy head office, and when Grandin Toy sent, Kara, and then Kara sent it off to Staples, their Office Depot, whatever, like the morale just plummeted, and you did not want to go into work every day. And if you got to go into a place where you're not happy because you don't know if that's going to be your last day or not, sort of deal, it does take its toll on you. And you got these people teaching these courses and seeing the students going out there and making successes. And that's pride on your behalf as a teacher. You know, seeing, hey, look, I taught these kids and they're doing so well now. It makes me so happy. It's pride. And then it's like, oh, well, you know, whatever. We're canceling these.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So, all right, then. You're just crapping on my all my years of teaching these kids now. Is that what you're saying? Like,
yeah.
So
yeah.
I can see him, you know, having that breakdown a bit. And probably won't be the last one either.
No, exactly.
So
no, I do remember the Prakwa joke that was played on me. That was pretty funny though.
Well, you can't just lay it there and just walk away now, can you, Kevin?
No, the Fish and Wildlife Tech, he's the only person that could play Prakwa jokes at this place and get away with it. Like things that were not proper, right? So, it's almost like working with Sean Rowland.
Oh, do tell. Maybe it was my dad.
He would write on the back of your vehicle when your vehicle was dirty in the wintertime things that were not proper.
Right.
And I don't know if you can edit this out or not, but it is a funny story. And, so he wrote on the back of my truck, vagina scare me.
So we've written worse.
Okay. So I drove to Tim Hortons on the way home. I drove like in my parking lot, and I was talking to my old neighbor that was like 90 with it right over my shoulder.
Oh.
And she's the one that pointed it out. And I went, oh, that guy, I'll get him. And what did he do? He actually said, it wasn't me. And he went to his own vehicle and wrote something on the back of his vehicle to look like it wasn't him that did it. But we said, no. And we're all Fish and Wildlife techs, right? So we think different. So it in the snow, we got the plaster Paris, whatever, and we took a print of his footprint in the snow, like you would tracking an animal.
Right.
And we mashed his boot. You lying son of a...
CSI Fleming.
He's the only person that would go by the secretary that was very, very nice, very, very, very prim and proper South African woman, very prim and proper, and would never smile or whatever, and he would get the whooping cushion and get her. He's the only one that could do that. And she would laugh. Oh, that's just wrong.
Where do I buy one? Oh, geez. Well, thanks for coming on, Kevin.
This has been great. A lot.
Yeah, we very much appreciate
it. We figured
this
was going to be like a little 10-minute ditty with you, but
no, so did I.
It's been an hour now, hour and 10. Yeah. Look at you. And you didn't even have to get up for a refill.
I know, I'm done.
That's what happens when you drink directly from the bottle.
Oh, jeez.
No, I was listening to your podcast a couple weeks ago. What did you say? You know what? I do not drink whiskey at 7 in the morning.
He heard that.
I forget half the stuff I say. Because even Dennis from Canoe Hound Outdoor Adventures, he says, put me in for 20 on the battleship. I'm thinking, dude's just sent something to the wrong person.
Did you know he texted me?
I totally forgot that we were talking about the battleship. I was going to buy a battleship and make it into a Timmy's.
On Lake Ontario.
Oh, yeah. I'll get a bunch of people to pitch in. Totally forgot I said that. And he just flipped me a message saying, yeah, I'm put me down for 20 on the battleship. The battleship Timmy's.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell are you talking about? So at least now we've got $20 towards my new battleship Timmy's that's going to be roaming Lake Ontario selling coffee and donuts and napkins to all the fishermen.
Yes.
Because
yes.
You never know when you're out in the middle of the lake.
Yep.
And you're one burrito away.
Never trust your buddy not to film it.
Oh, I tell you, you got anything else? Any good trips to talk about?
I have a full summer. Actually, I'm going to one cool thing is Christine and the dogs and I are going up to the Kipawa Lake in Quebec.
Really?
The Quebec Tourism asked me to go up and Explore magazine, and they said, can you write about Lake Kipawa? Because there's a new national park, which I cannot pronounce. And I started laughing when I had a meeting with them. I said, guys, I'm from Ontario. You know that, right? And but they're really interested in more paddlers from Ontario coming in because they changed that rule about not not having your dog. There was for a long time, you weren't allowed to have your dog in the backcountry.
Really?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So they've changed that, especially in this new national park. And even the yurts they have in the national park, you're allowed to have your dog.
So you're going to bring two?
Yeah, well,
I wouldn't go big or go home.
I wouldn't count Oliver as a real dog. But doing that, but and then Andy and I are doing that that long trip where he's not telling me where we're going.
All right.
Oh, yeah, so that's fun.
Cool. And I'm also going up to Sioux College, which was really interesting. I'm going up to Sioux College in a few weeks, actually, in the beginning of June. They asked me to be the, I don't know if it's called MC, when you know the speaker talks during graduation.
Yeah.
Is MC okay?
Well, if you're directing the whole thing, you keep introducing people, you're the MC.
But there's also
if you're just I'm a guest speaker.
Guest speaker.
Yeah, I'm like, you do it, man. You're awesome. And because I graduated from Sioux back in, 1984. They asked me to come back and sort of rally the troops up. And I went, that's fantastic. I'll love to do that. So what I'm doing after that is I'm going to all my spots I went to back when I was a wee young lad.
Yes, 1984 you graduated?
Well, I thought it was 82. They said it was 84. They must have looked in the records.
Wow. But
I thought
it was Were 82. We born yet?
Oh, stop it. I had to write a speech for them. Like, you imagine, like, that's not a typical thing for me to do, like, is to be that type of person. So I thought, well, what do I say to these kids that are graduating? And I thought, okay, I got a story. And I've told you this story before, but it's a classic. So when I was in high school, my dad said, and my dad worked in a factory. He was a boxer, professional boxer, and worked in a factory afterwards. And really admired the guy. And he said, what are you going to do for a career? I go, well, I'm going to be a drummer because I'm a drummer in the band in high school. And I was in a punk band called Santa Syphilis.
Yep.
And yeah, right. We talked about that before. And then so he heard me perform at the Christmas gathering for the high school. And he very nicely, he said, you need a backup, son. You're not a good drummer. And that's how I got to go to college at the Sioux, not Sioux Sanford. I mean, that was the main college at the time, too. But I actually, my grades were so low that I shouldn't say that either. But
you went to the discount college.
I did. I went to the discount college. But I'm so glad I did because I fell in love with Lake Superior.
Yeah.
And I worked in the North for a while, too. And, yeah. So I think what I'm going to say is, yes, I don't work in forestry anymore. I don't work in fish and wildlife. I'm not playing with Santa Syphilis anymore.
as far as you know.
But after my education, it grew me up a bit to make a change in the world. So now, according to you, I'm a world-renowned author.
Right?
Right? You know, giving workshops at Frontenac Outfitters. So I think, to go back to, again, what we're talking about, yeah, we got to really think about what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, sounds like you got a good summer plan, too.
Yeah, got some solid trips. And actually, if I don't have a job in the fall, I'm going to continue. I'm going to be a world-renowned YouTuber.
Hey, okay, I'm telling you this right now. If you don't have a job in October, let me know.
Okay.
I need somebody. I might need a co-pilot going south, paddling for 10 days.
That's right. You're doing that. Yeah.
Right.
You know, the one thing about that too, but I'm kind of joking about it or not. You see my YouTube stuff. It's pretty scrambled. It's pretty.
Because I have normal. Kevin and I speak the same language.
but I don't take my time during it because I have a job. Right. Yeah. So I go out. And I'm also very hyper, whatever, but think about it. I could just concentrate on doing more online workshops for other people, work for high schools on my own, forget the college. I could do all that. The only problem is I'm 60, right? So, but I still have the energy. I'm not a person that would retire if he's like, well, I can't because I don't have a pension. And I still have the energy. But, yeah, maybe it's time to do some solid trips and up a notch.
See?
Yeah.
See? Let me know. Let me know. I'll reserve that. Oh, come on. You can't buy entertainment like that.
I'm not driving with you again. Honestly, God, like, Derek, you tell them how bad it is driving with this man.
Oh, it's horrible. Like, you, the two of you, I can't get a word in edgewise.
See?
He did, though, when he started talking about the parasite that his son had.
Oh, the pinworms.
The pinworms, yeah. Yeah, it's because Kevin and I were just like, ooh, oh.
Yeah, we didn't say a word about power.
Don't talk. Maybe it's contagious.
If you don't have dirty hands playing in sand then,
right?
And then eating, then it's not going to be a problem.
Yeah. The cats do not bury chocolate bars in the sandbox. I'm telling you that right now.
Yes. Do not eat them.
And the next time I go to White Castle with you, I'm going to have napkins in the glove box.
There you go.
Got a ton of them in there, buddy. Got a ton of them in there. you got anything else to talk about, Kevin?
No, that's it. You should go and talk about other things. Sorry, I'm taking too much of your time.
No, we have nothing else to talk about. The only other thing I had to talk about, if you weren't here, is we were going to drag out that King Cobra thing to last an hour.
Oh, my Lord. No, keep it going. I love your show. I listen to it all the time when I'm driving.
We don't.
I don't listen to my own self. I hate my voice on radio and stuff. But if I hear one more story about some canoe found in the bottom of a lake, I'm going to lose it.
Right? What, because you want to find one yourself?
Every single episode, you found another canoe. And
well, it wasn't us. People just finding them all willy-nilly now. Apparently back, like anywhere between 2 and 10,000 years ago,
yeah.
People would just toss away canoes. That was the time to be alive, apparently.
Free canoes.
Like, free canoes everywhere. That was the glory days of paddling, Kevin. You just walk down the road and there'd be a canoe laying there. You could just pick it up and go.
You know, it's funny when you think that, too, because when I was driving yesterday, I'm thinking what I'm going to do with my life. I thought, you know, I could sell the house and that's how I get some money for a bit until I get another job. And the very first thing that popped in my head, where am I going to put my canoes?
Just put them on the street. They'll go willy-nilly. Bury them in the lake.
Oh, there you go.
Like they used to do back in the day.
Yeah.
Apparently 2 to 10,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And then when you finally got a place that has a big yard or garage, you go and dig them up and you take them to your new place. They look just as good and pristine as the day you buried them. 2 or 10,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, make sure you guys fly off into the sky and then copulate on your way down. And have a good night.
You get to wear the bird suit this week, Derek.
Awesome.
I'm not falling for that trick a third time. Derek, you got anything to talk about?
I do not.
You do not. Neither do I. Kevin, thank you very much for joining us this week and helping us maybe shed some light on what's going on out in the world of
thanks a lot for the
Fleming
offer.
College.
Yeah, very humble for you guys to ask me. Thank you very much.
Not a problem. If you want to find out more about us, you can find us at paddlingadventuresradio.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can download or stream our episodes on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and all your favorite podcast downloading sites. Or just go to the episode page at paddlingadventuresradio.com and you can listen or download every one of our episodes. 428 of them now. Isn't that great? It's awesome. If you enjoy the podcast, please share it with friends, family, and fellow paddlers. Kevin, big thank you for joining us this week. Everybody that's listening, thank you very much for listening. Derek?
Thanks, everyone. You didn't end like you normally do.
I'm changing it up. Fine. I'm Sean Rowley.
And I'm Derek Spech. We'll see you next time.